Every day is full of options, full of decisions, full of choices, a chance to change, an opportunity to grow. We only get one chance at this life. Every moment is a new moment, a new opportunity to make a change. Our decisions shape us into who we are, but our decisions can change who we'll be. So I know it starts with me. It's my choice to change the norm. It's my decision to make things better. Who else is gonna make a difference? I'm not built to wait for change. I'm made to awaken it. This day, this hour, this moment starts with me. It all starts with me.
So we're walking through, it starts with me. You've seen that video a couple different times. You've had the opportunity to hear me say, the reason we're gonna always do a prayer meeting in this room, and I've never caught more flack over anything I've done than this, but the reason we're always gonna do a prayer meeting in this room is I believe God wants to move in our generation. I believe God wants to do the things in our day that he's done in every other day. And I believe that we and you need to see the gospel work with your friends, not just hear stories of God working, but to say in that person's life, God is moving and I see it. So we believe prayer is the way to accomplish that. We want to do a lot of other things that are going to help us there. But if we are not first building from us, praying and asking God, then all that other stuff is in vain. So as I've spent time in Christianity, the number of people I've met that when we talk about praying, really struggle in prayer, we want to let this be a way for you to learn. So we're going to pray and sing the Bible in this room. We're going to corporately pray together. We're going to pray for someone in this room. We're going to give you the opportunity to learn how to pray so that when that moment is given with friends, that you're going to know how to do it. You've already started working the muscle. All right, so today we're going to talk about eating elephants, which I know is completely ridiculous, but there's this phrase that's been in my brain, how do you eat an elephant, right? So there's a picture of an elephant. They're gigantic, right? So it's, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those eat a lot of steak contests, but when people eat 100 ounces of steak, it's disgusting, right? Like they show these pictures of your body and what happens there, the hot dog eating contest that happens every year, the volume that those guys have to like take into their body is insane. And so they'll eat a lot of lettuce to stuff their stomach so that it'll cause their stomach to expand, and then they can quickly like pass it out of their body. And since their stomach has expanded and grown, they can just shove 100-some hot dogs into their belly. All right, so when you look at that behemoth, there's this question of like, how do you eat an elephant? And most people would be like, well, what you do is. So here's the way to eat an elephant. One bite at a time. Oh, yeah, let that one set in. Okay, so here's why that's important. So that phrase happens in popular culture. That phrase happens amongst people that it's a way for you to set goals. So if you've got an elephant, how do you eat the elephant? Just one bite at a time. That if you were to start, you know, gnawing on its leg, you'd be like, delicious, right? And then you'd be able to progress, and there'd be a way for you to eat an elephant, right? The multiple tons that is elephant, you could eat it. And so why eating elephants? Because there's been a lot of conversations I've had with a lot of people that it seems like whatever they're looking for in regards to their relationship with Jesus, their relationship with their spouse, their relationship with something, it seems so far off that it causes them not to do anything. It causes them to say, well, it's way out there, so there's no way I'm going to get way out there, so I'm just going to stay right here. And what I've said, I can't tell you how many times in the last month I've said, I've been sitting in a room with somebody, and I've been like, how do you eat an elephant? And their face is the same that every person's face has. What does an elephant have to do with my marriage? Or what does an elephant have to do with my relationship with Jesus? Or what does an elephant have to do with, it's like, answer the question, how do you eat an elephant? I don't know. I've never eaten an elephant. One bite at a time. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment that if you can take a step, then everything is different. If you can make one move forward, then everything changes. You've, in a way, started to take a bite out of an elephant. All right, so 1 Peter 3, we're going to work verses 13 to 25, and that's going to be a way for us to have a talk about how do you eat an elephant in regards to your relationship with Jesus. All right, so 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 25, here's what it says. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, which some of you may hear sober, that has nothing to do with alcohol. It has everything to do with your mind being readily fixed. You're thinking right. You're acting right. All right, so being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of God remains forever. And the word is good news that was preached to you. And so here's kind of the way we frame it. If we're going to take it starts with me and say, okay, so if God is starting with us and there's an elephant in regards to our relationship with Jesus and our engagement in the world, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do we take our relationship with God and take one step at a time? 1 Peter 1:13 says, prepare your minds for action, right? And so one of the conversations we're having in this room with Pastor Romy and I, some of our worship leaders and the different crew that we're having, we are having this conversation about preparing your minds for action, because one of the things we notice in this room, or one of the things that I've become aware of, especially recently, is there is a gap between what we know about God and what we do because of what we know. And so there seems to be this, and I'll say, the room is well-informed. Like most of the people who come into this room, spend enough time in this room, you're going to get to know a lot about God and a lot about what to do with God and a lot about your relationship with God. And yet, if we don't prepare our minds for action, we just get a lot of information. And that information is of little value if it does not transition into action. So one of my favorite passages comes from the book of James and says that if you believe in God, believe and they shudder, or they Mufasa, right? So there's this sense of even everything that is against God, right? Satan and all of his friends know what it is to know God, like believe in God, have spent time with God, know rightly who it is. And yet that understanding of God did not cause them to worship and love him, caused them to hate him and run away. And so for us, when we say, if we know these things about God, it should compel us to activity. It should compel us to action. And so 1 Peter 1 says, prepare your mind for action. Say, take these things you know about God and prepare to take a step. Prepare to say, all right, I'm going to walk into what God has given me. I'm going to take this step in the direction that he has, right? And why do we do that? That we set our eyes fully on who Jesus is, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that when you look at Jesus and recognize who he is and know what he's done for you, it causes you to say, because of who he is, I can dot, 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 fill in the blank with whatever you want to. Because of who Jesus is, I can spend my life serving and loving and giving it to him. I can spend my life studying the scriptures to know him more because of what he's done. I can spend my life praying and asking and growing in deep knowledge with God because of what he's done. I can give my life making him known because I know him. I can do all these things because of who he is. That if you consistently set your eyes on Jesus, then you're not going to lack anything in regards to what should I be doing now. But when we start putting our eyes on other things and start having other things grab our attention, it will detract us from preparing our minds for action because of who Jesus is. That if we set our eyes fully on one day, we're going to open our eyes and be with him forever. And that causes us to frame, how are we spending our everydays here? And so 1 Peter 1 continues on and talks about all the things that God has done. It says that we've been washed with his blood, we've been prepared in his image, we've been set apart from him. And then the end of it, there's this little poem that you'll notice it gets indented and looks like a couple verses. It says the grass is going to grow, the flowers are going to fade away, but what God has said will not. That's the Bible's way of saying we're all going to die, right? That every one of us at some point is not going to live anymore. And none of us are thinking like that, right? At this season of life, you're invincible. You're basically the equivalent of an Avenger. You're never going to die, and the movies will go on forever, right? They'll have 19,000 spinoffs. It'll keep going. Everybody will make millions. We'll all go see it. Hip-hop, hooray. right? So we're all a superhero, never going to die. And then when you graduate from high school, you're like, okay, I feel old. You graduate from college, you feel a lot older. You get married, you feel really old. You start having babies. Oldness just seems to be the way that you live. When I roll out of bed in the morning now, I've usually got like a toddler, like, you know, foot in my face, or somebody's been sleeping on my rib, you know, just some random moment like that. That'll make you feel old fast, right? And where I used to just be able to just go out and start running amok just because I felt like it, now there's that sense of, boy, I better stretch before, I better stretch during, I better stretch after, or I'm going to feel this, and I'm a fresh 31, right? So you may be like, oh, that's never me. That old man's out of shape. You should probably go to the gym. I'll dunk on you right now. But there's that knowledge of, for me, old is happening, and I'm not old yet. But I can't imagine what it's like to be 60, 70, 80, whatever. But every one of us at some point is going to close our eyes, and we're the only person who thinks that's going to happen at 90. But I know lots of, I mean, Rachel's got one of her good friends that his wife, she died at 31. Two babies, they were going to be trying to have a third, and she just died. Like crazy, nobody knows why, died. Right, just out of nowhere. And it wasn't like she got into a car accident. Like, all of a sudden, her health got really severe. There was nothing they could do, and she died in a matter of months. Right, as a 31-year-old, my age. But I think I'm going to see 90. Right, and so there's this awareness of, man, this is going to end for all of us at some point. But if we prepare our minds for action, if we're sober-minded, recognizing who Jesus is and recognizing the life that we have, and we take advantage of the days that we have, that every day is a gift, every day is an opportunity, and you wake up going, all right, what could happen with today? Then we set our eyes on Jesus, and we say, man, for today, you have my whole life, and I want to give it all to you. And so when we talk about, all right, so what's the elephant, right? Like, what's the thing? If you're going to prepare your mind for action, live sober-minded, and set your hope fully on Jesus, then every one of us has a step today that we could do in growing in our relationship with God. Every one of us has a moment where we, from right here, can take a step forward. So we sat down with our interns a couple weeks ago, and we said, how much time every week are you spending with God, right? And then the question got really awkward really fast because you could tell in the brain, they were like, the hours are not adding up very fast, right? And there was like, how many hours? And most of them were like, could we get to hour, just singular, right? So I transitioned. I was like, how many minutes every day are you spending with God? Could we go minutes per couple of days? It's just this weird trend. And I'm not one to, I'm not bringing condemnation on that. I could care less. Like, you just answer the question. But there was this like, oh, I immediately feel terrible. Right? So here's what we recognize. For most of the people and interns, just they're not anybody special. They just volunteer like crazy, which makes them special. And so that being true, they're not anything different than you or I, and I'm not anything different than you or I. So they're like, how much time are you spending with God? And most of them were like, ugh, couple minutes every week. And that's kind of where we got to. The average per week kind of found itself getting around 10 minutes. And the reason for that was like, you know, all the reasons you have. Waking up, and you're like, man, school's early enough. I'm not waking up earlier. And then getting home, and homework, and dinner, TV, video games, social networks. Then they're like, by the time I go to bed, I'm tired. Even though the stories I hear is most of y'all can't go to sleep till after it's midnight anyways, right? So there's this like, but I don't know if I want to go to bed. So just all this stuff. And I was like, all right, so let's take that and let's put it against anything else. Let's just say you love Jesus. Yes. All right. So let's put your time with him against anything else that you put time into. And it's not a bad thing, right? So put that against the amount of time you have in school. You're like, well, that's not fair. Am I going to spend 8 hours with the Lord? Right? Nope. But let's just put it in that. The study of that, right? Your job, you can put it in that. Your hobbies and the activities you go. And honestly, man, just the video games, television, just roll it into anything. And when I always come back to, if Jesus is the singular passion of our lives, then our days and our lives should be framed on knowing him and making him known, not having him be a part of the day if we can squeeze him in. And I use that as a way, just because even my relationship with my wife, right, and it's very simple, But Rachel would never say, Justin loves me so much, he tries to find a couple of minutes per day to fit me in. He tries to give me a couple of minutes during his schedule, during his day. If he's got time at the end of it, he'll make a little bit of time for me if there's nothing else going on. Right? There's no way, and no wife would be like, oh, I'm so glad you gave me that time. Right? I'm so glad I got a couple minutes of your day because you had a couple minutes to spare. Right? Because you felt bad about it. No one would feel that way. And so when that kind of settled into my heart that if Rachel would feel that way, and if I say Jesus is greater than anything in my life, then how should I live that differently? Man, it just is a reset in priorities, right? It's a reset in me saying, if the goal is Jesus and being with Jesus, then how could I start to eat the elephant of, all right, the goal is Jesus, so how can my day, every day, be the goal is Jesus? Obsessively, undeniably, Jesus. How can we do that? And so started resetting. So the way for me is really simple and lame, right? I need help in knowing what parts of the Bible to read because there's a big Bible, right? And if you ever are like, all right, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus today, if you open the Bible, that thing is massive, right? And you could open it and go like, what the junk does this have to do with anything? I don't even know what I'm reading, right? So recognize that. So there's a bajillion resources for you to be able to start reading the Bible every day, to read the whole Bible every year, to find passages that are helpful. We use YouVersion at our house, but there's a verse that they put up every day that we share with our kids after dinner time, right? So we'll eat, and then we'll go out to the couch, and the way it plays when we go to the couch is every Jude and Micah get a sucker, and the sucker's the most important part of the conversation, they're 4 and 2, but the dum-dum wins, right? So we'll take blue dum-dums out to the couch, and then I'll say, here's the verse for today. We'll read it. We'll pray it together. That's my 4-year-old and my 2-year-old getting a little bit of time with Jesus every day, right? And then if you say, all right, if you start with a verse a day, all right, so you're eating the elephant one bite at a time. If you get a verse a day, then maybe you grow to a paragraph a day. You grow to a chapter a day. You could see how if you start eating the elephant, all of a sudden it gets a lot easier. But when you start at zero and you're like, I have to read the whole Bible, or I have to memorize this whole thing, or I have to be able to, if you start comparing yourself to somebody else, you'll never eat the elephant. Right? But if you just say, I'm not responsible to do what somebody else is doing, but I can make a step today, then all you got to do is make a step today and say, I can start right here. Like, I can start with this moment. In the back of every Bible that's here, when you roll it to the back, there's a way for you to get a summary of the Bible in 30 days or 40 days. There's a way for you to read the Bible every year. There's a way for you to look topically at things you're going through. So if you're like, man, I got some stress right now, there's a guide at the back that has stress and verses. You can say, man, I'm really anxious right now. There's a guide with verses towards anxiety. Like, you could go through anything, and the back of that Bible has an infinity number of topics for you just to be able to, like, all right, read that, read that, read that. And then what do? Read that, pray that. So we've shared these 5 things in you starting prayer meetings and leading prayer meetings and growing in prayer meetings. There's been these 5 steps that we've shown you consistently because, again, the hardest part is starting. If you look at the elephant, you're never going to take a bite because it's a massive elephant. But if you start eating, then you'll eventually eat the whole thing. If you never eat anything, you're not going to eat anything, right? So if we've got 2 elephants and there's one there and there's one there and you're like, I'm never going to be able to eat that whole thing. It's like never going to happen, right? And you just look at the elephant every day. All you're going to do is look at the elephant and go, well, I hope the thing eats itself. Right? But if I just start munching on mine, just taking a couple bites. I don't even know how elephant tastes. But if I just start eating some, all of a sudden you're like, man, that guy's eating some elephant. My elephant's got none. Right? And you say, come back in a little while, I've eaten a leg. Come back in a little while, I've eaten every leg. Come back in a little while, I've eaten half the body, 3/4 of the body. Comes to the end and I'm just gnawing on the tusk. Right? And then you're like, I haven't eaten any elephant at all. And that's just what happens when we don't take a step. And I'm just saying, if you looked at every day and said, I can take a step, 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 then you're going to get there. So we've said it like this. How do you start praying? How do you start growing in that? If you just start, you've overcome the most difficult part. Inertia is the hardest thing to overcome. The lack of starting, the lack of activity. If you can get the ball rolling, it's on. So start. So what have I said? I've made the joke that if you walk into your room and say, dear God, you have officially started a prayer meeting in your room. Like, you just walk in and saying, dear God, right? And not the moment where you walk and you're like, dear God, how am I going to clean this whole room, right? It's not that, dear God, but it's just you say, dear God. So you walk into that. If you recognize no one is responsible for your relationship with God but you, nobody. So when it comes to us knowing God, there are people who can influence, there's people who can help, there's people who can lead, but you're responsible for your relationship with Jesus. And you're going to stand before Jesus in regards to your relationship with Jesus. So we have to own our relationship with Jesus. No one else can love Rachel. I am her husband, right? So I have to own, I am her husband. No one's going to love her like a husband like this guy. So I have to own husbandry, right? And what does that mean? Random trips to spas, random chocolates and delicious treats, other tricks I can show you later, right? So just owning, I'm her husband. Jude and Micah, I'm their dad. I have to own being dad. So I have to take that. It's that way with everything. And so if you own it and say, man, I'm responsible for this, what could I do? So you own it and say, man, I'm gonna take advantage of this, right? When you own your commitments to video games, you'll own some dudes online, right? There's like a major league gaming thing going on right now. Apparently there's a lot of people who are good at video games and are playing against each other, right? So that's true. Those guys have owned their video game-ness, so now they can own other gamers digitally, right? Like there's that sense of, I can own that. If you own your competitive activities and you own your stuff in sports, then all of a sudden you'll be able to be responsible for that. Like no athlete says, well, that guy's gonna do that. I'm just gonna hope I get good, right? You can't watch basketball and become a baller. You have to get out there and actually do some work. So to own it and then enjoy it. What fun is doing anything if there's no pleasure and joy in doing it? Right, so if you hate basketball, why are you going to keep playing basketball? You hate basketball, right? So if you start enjoying it and you're like, all right, I know guys who love going out and practicing layups and practicing jump shots, whatever. So there's joy in it. So if you enjoy it, then all of a sudden it reframes on this. And I always come to, man, I know when you look at this much white on a piece of paper, you're like, ugh. There's no, when you're up early in the morning, it's, ugh. Like, I get why people would look at the Bible and spending time with God and going, this is terrible, right? This is the worst. It's terribly awkward, right? But what is it for me? It's the same thing that 1 Peter said. When you set your eyes on Jesus and you fix your eyes on the hope that is Jesus, then it allows you to reframe it in. There is joy to be had in this. And what is it? The joys are the things of, I am spending time with God who says universe and the universe makes itself. So there's joy to be had in that, that I can have a deep and intimate relationship with God to pray the Bible. We start to worship as the Bible compels us to. There's a way for us to grow in the muscle that is spending time with God. All right, so here's the unique thing about the room. We have this guest lunch, which is why there's all these white tables. But we did put Bibles on everybody's table, all right? So grab your Bible, and then here's what we want you to do. All right, flip to the back, and I want you to see the thing I'm talking about. It may be in the back. It may not be. Wait for it. Wait for it. No, not that one. And maybe it's in the front. I don't know. These are all so different. Oh, yeah, in the front. All right, it's like page XI. Yeah, and then there's XII. And XIII. Okay, so you'll see stuff where it's like, what does the Bible say about? All right, so then there's all these different passages that the Bible says about that. If you don't know where that is, you can turn left a couple pages, and there's a table of contents that'll tell you where that's at. So here's what we want to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to take a step today to at least develop the habit, right? To start saying, there's a way for you to read the Bible every day, to love the Bible every day, and I don't know what you're going through. But what this Bible says is the Bible says a lot about whatever you're saying you're going through. So whatever word just chimes for you, you're like, ooh, that one. We're going to spend some time in the Bible today, just spending time with Jesus. You, Jesus, I'm giving you the check on today. You have spent time with God, not just time at church. All right, and then we're going to kind of come together. We're going to pray corporately with each other, and then we're going to pray with one another, all right? So Cameron's got some tracks he's going to throw on for us, right? We've just got a couple we're going to roll through. I would love for you to find a table where you could be at, not sit next to your homie, all right? So, because everybody knows when you're sitting next to your friend, it can get easy to get distracted. Somebody starts slapping somebody, right? Or somebody just starts going, like it just gets weird whenever you're sitting next to someone. So if you get a table right? Just get a table. If you have to have two at a table, you know what I'm saying. Some of y'all will be like, right, just doing dumb stuff. Don't do dumb stuff, all right? So when that happens, just try to find a table to sit by yourself. And in the front, just find one of the topics that's there. And when you get to that passage, just want you to read it a couple of times, all right? And as you read it a couple of times, what I do is I'll just read it, read it, read it, read it. And eventually that reading of it will allow me to start praying about it, right? That I've read it enough times that I'm like, all right, I feel like I understand what's up. Now we can start praying. All right, so we've got a couple of tracks that we're going to work through, and I'm going to try to help you just read right now. Just read, 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 and then I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to say, all right, let's start to pray now. Let's take that text, and you pray now, and we'll start to pray, 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 and then we'll gather together, pray corporately. All right, so if you want to find another table, you're good. If you want to find a corner or a step, you're good. We're going to, you and Jesus time, go. Just find a text. We're going to start reading. Yes. Thanks. Bye.